This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland, 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 6 to verse number 8. We read together. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them." Amen. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 14, 8 to verse number 29. Verse number 13, the Bible reads, "Christ," let's read together, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Let's jump to verse number 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's seed, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Amen. So when we see that we are connected to the promise that is in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 8, that declares that we will possess the land. Amen. Because the Bible says his God swore to Abraham that this is what would happen to his seed. And the Bible says that Christ, who has redeemed us from the curse of the law, has connected us to the blessings that God spoke into the life of Abraham. Amen. And so this is also speaking to us, to you and to me, that whatever God declared and whatever God spoke is applicable to you and to me today. This morning, if I were to put a title on the message, I would call it, "You Have Stayed Long Enough on the Mountain." You have stayed long enough on the mountain. You see, the Israelites, the children of Israel, were on Mount Sinai when God spoke to them these words. When God spoke to them, it was in Exodus. God spoke to them that, "Look, go to this mountain." It was at Mount Horeb or Sinai that God spoke to them, gave them the Ten Commandments, and they stayed there. They camped there. They saw the glory of God. They saw the presence of God. They saw the power of God. This is where at Mount Sinai the Israelites came, and when God showed up in fire, they said, "God, we are afraid of you. Your presence is just too much. Just talk to Moses. Don't talk to us." It was in this place that they saw his glory. They saw his Shekinah. The Shekinah is the manifest presence of God, the presence of God, the power of God made manifest in people's lives. They saw God at work. Amen. They saw God at work, but they camped there, and it, for them it was life. But remember, when they were leaving Exodus, when they were leaving Egypt, God told them, I'm sending you to a promised land. I'm taking you across. I'm taking you beyond. But when they encountered the presence of God, they encountered the power of God, they stayed there and decided that is where they want to be. Until God had to come in and begin to shift them. And he said, wait a minute. I did not say that this is where you should stay. I did not say this is where you should encamp. But you need to move on because there is a promised land for you. There is a place of destiny for you. Friends, Horeb was the mountain of God. Horeb was the presence of God. Horeb was the place of encounter. Horeb was a place where they met God. But God told them, you cannot stay at the place of encounter. I meet you at a place of encounter so I can move you into your place of destiny. Many of us, friends, we have had an encounter with God. We have met God. We've become born again. Or we have received a breakthrough. Or we have had a shift in our lives, in our relationships. Something tangible has happened. And where we have literally seen the hand of God. And we have encamped on that experience. We have encamped on that mountain level experience. And yet God is saying there is more for you in life. There is more for you to shift. There is more for you to go forward. Even as a church. As a ministry, Agape, we have encountered the power of God. Nobody can say in this church that they've never seen the hand of God. Because you may have either seen it or experienced it. The presence and power of God has been made manifest. However, you cannot encamp on the experiences of what God has done. God has spoken and God has given you and me a word. Amen. That we will possess the land. God has said, go forth. Develop agents of change. Go forth. Win disciples for Jesus. Go forth and get DMV for Jesus. Go forth. God did not say encamp in my presence. My presence is just to equip you. My presence is to train you. My presence is to prepare you to cross the river. Hallelujah, somebody. And friends, God equips us. But we are the ones who need to fight the Goliaths. In our lives, God will not descend to do it for us. God will not descend to do it for you. David was equipped, but God did not come down to sling the Goliath. It was David who did what? Who took action. God will equip you, but God will not take you into that exam room to excel. God will open the door for you to get the job, but God will give you the grace to excel, but it is you that needs to excel. It is you that needs to work. It is you that needs to take the effort to do something. Hallelujah. Our action, friends, will trigger the victory that God has already given us. What we do, we are responsible for what we do, and our actions will trigger the promises of God that God has given into our life. Many of us have stayed on this mountain for too long. Agape, you have stayed on this mountain for too long. You have stayed on this mountain for too long. Tell your neighbor, you have stayed on this mountain for too long. For some of us, it is in our marriages. For some of us, it is in our relationships. For some of us, it is in our businesses. For some of us, it is in our education. For some of us, it is our careers. For some of us, it is in church, our Christian walk, our spiritual walk, you know. And that, I believe, is the most important thing that God always looks for. Because listen, the last time I checked in the Bible doesn't say heaven rejoiced when you bought a new car. The Bible doesn't say heaven rejoiced when you got a new home. The Bible doesn't say heaven rejoiced when you got your fourth degree. The Bible doesn't say you know, heaven rejoiced when you started that business. But the Bible says heaven rejoiced when a soul was won to the Lord. That's when heaven rejoices. Hallelujah, somebody. That's the last time I checked my Bible. That's what the Bible says. But the Bible says he has given us what? The blessings. He has given us all these things to do what? To possess. He says no good thing will he withhold
from those who walk upright. So these are given. These are, you're supposed to excel in your college. You're supposed to excel in your workplace. You're supposed to excel in politics. You're supposed to excel in your business. It is a given. It is a given. Those things are a given for a child of God. But you see, many of us, we've camped on our spiritual experiences for so long that we are failing to see the destinies that God has given us. Number one, why is it that we stay too long on this mountain? Number one, we are comfortable with where we are. Hindrances to moving forward. The Israelites were comfortable on Mount Sinai. Everything was there. Manna was falling every day. They were lazy, doing nothing. Because what was there to do? Nothing. They were just seated. Many times we are comfortable, and because we are comfortable, we have no motivation to improve or strive for better or more. Friends, sometimes God will use crisis to get you out of your comfort zone. Many of us have become so comfortable, even in places of work. Who told you that you should be in the same position 17 years? While others are being promoted, you are comfortable. It's time for you to become uncomfortable and decide, I want to move forward in life, in your spiritual walk. Some of us, we've encamped, if we were to put a scale of maturity, I don't think there is one, but if we were to put a scale, maybe a scale of 1 to 10, some of us maybe have hit a 5, and we have become so comfortable on a 5. We have become so comfortable that we don't want to move. Agape, you have become so comfortable that you don't want to do anything else. That's why you are failing to move forward. We can talk about moving forward. We can talk about elevation. We can talk about exploits. We can talk about, but for as long as you are comfortable showing up on Sunday, going home until the next Sunday, trust me, you will stay on that mountain for always. For as long as you are comfortable saying a little amen at breakfast, a little hallelujah at lunchtime, and a little I lay me down before I sleep at nighttime, trust me, your spiritual walk will not go anywhere. For as long as we are comfortable just seeing empty chairs like this, you know, you become this uncomfortable for a while. After a while, you become used. You become comfortable. And you expect somebody else to do it. You will stay on that mountain and you will fail to move. Tell your neighbor, you've stayed too long on this mountain. Personally, I want us to become uncomfortable as a church. I want us to become uncomfortable as a church. And God will sometimes use crisis to get you out of your comfort zone. Over the life of this church, I've seen crisis after crisis come. And every time crisis came, we were galvanized into action and we moved to the next level. Every time crisis came, we were shifted from one level to the next. And now, even how we moved here, it was crisis. And crisis showed up, we moved, and we moved to better. When we became a little comfortable, things happened. And we move down here. So every time, sometimes God will use crisis. Not all the time, but sometimes God will use crisis. You see, Joseph could not be father to Pharaoh for as long as on his father's house. So God had to allow Joseph's brothers to do what? To sell him. For as long as Joseph was comfortable in Potiphar's house, happy. He was a chief slave. Do you know that Joseph became very happy as a chief slave? He was very happy. God had to allow crisis to come in for him to go into the prison. For many of us, we have become comfortable, and sometimes God will bring crisis in your life to shift you, to wake you up, even in your place of work. I have experienced over time that the difference between a good job and a bad job is a change of boss. The minute your boss changes, things change. I don't know. I'm not speaking to everybody, but I'm speaking to that person in here that is saying my second half needs to count better than the first half. You must refuse. And sometimes God will bring crisis in your life to expose things in your life that need to shift, that need to change. God had to bring crisis in David's life for him to see that pride had crept in when he killed 70,000 people. God is going to bring things in your life. I remember moments in my life when I thought I had it made and gone, God brought crisis to bring a shift and to move me to the next level. And I believe it is the same for the church. Hallelujah. Are we together? What is the number two hindrance that stops us from moving forward? Fear. Number one, we become too comfortable where we are. Number two, we are afraid. Many of us are paralyzed by fear. Fear of the unknown. We are paralyzed by fear of failure. We are paralyzed by fear of what people will say. The what ifs really flood our mind. I tell you, fear really paralyzes people. Many people have the potential to do great things, but because of fear. Fear stops people from moving forward. Even as a church, what stops you from witnessing? Yesterday, I attended a couple meetings. And one of the meetings in the morning was about soul winning. I went to remember last week we had the people that came to talk to us about Celebrate America Breakfast. I mean about the Celebrate America program. And, you know, I'm sitting there, and there's this man who comes, he's retired. All he does is goes to the mall to win souls. In the last two years, he has won 282 souls to the Lord. And then a young man stands up. Young man owns a business. He's been here before. Stands up and he says, in the last 3 years, I've led 3,500 to the Lord. But what stops you and me? We stand here and say, this year, at the end of the year, at least win how many? One. At least one to the Lord. We are in the second half of the year. If I dare challenge you and say, how many have you led to the Lord? We'll all start looking down. We'll also start saying, I'm just meant to be a Christian. Exactly. But do you know that Jesus never said you should be a Christian and stay? He said what? He said, all those that believe in my name, they will do what? They will go out and preach the gospel. The proclamation of the gospel is not left for the pastor. The pastor's job, as described by Jesus, by God, in Ephesians chapter 4, is to do what? Is to train and equip the saints for the fulfilling of ministry. For doing what? To train and equip for doing what? For winning souls. Of course, first and foremost, before a pastor is a pastor, is also what? A disciple is also what? A believer. So the call to win souls is for everybody. But we are paralyzed. We are afraid. Perhaps because of the things we do. So as a church, if we are going to see Agape moving forward, I'm fully and 100% convinced that Agape in its current form, unless something drastically changes and people become soul winners, we will continue to see the same trend. Turn to somebody and say, unless you become an agent of change, Agape will still be counting on you. Turn to somebody else and tell them, unless you move off the mountain, Agape will stay like this. These are truths that we must be honest about. I'm yet to see. Because remember that church is a spiritual organism. Hallelujah. Church is a spiritual organism. Church can only progress, can only grow. It's a living thing. Church is a living being. And anything that's alive must do what? Must grow. Now, God is a God of increase. But God says, the people who are there, what are they called to do? They are called to plant. They are called to what? To water. So God has already given the victory. Remember, I said your action will trigger what? The victories that God has already given you. So, your action is to what? To water. Your action is to do what? To plant. Then God will do what? Will increase. But for as long as you come to church and say, oh, again, it's empty. Where are the people? But ask yourself, who did you invite to church today? Did you invite anybody to the house of God? No, you did not. And the same way you are seeing empty chairs, that was you last week when you decided to stay home and not come. Huh? If we are going to move forward as a ministry in the second half, there must be some truth-telling sessions in the church. We cannot come into church and put on masks and pretend. The last time I checked, Jesus clearly told them, the people, and he said, except you eat of my flesh and eat drink of my blood, you have no part in me. They said, these things you are telling us are too hard. And what did they do? They stopped following him. Did Jesus say, wait, you look good, you look nice, God will increase you, God will bless you. No. God, Jesus tells us what we need. And then those of us that hear what we need, guess what? We shift and we change. And so right now, there are some of us that are moving in fear. Think about that business you wanted to start. How long has it been since you've been talking about the business? How long has it been? You've been asking your husband to pray for it. You've been asking your wife to pray for the business. How long has it been? How long has it been you've been asking for that promotion, but you are afraid to take the step forward? Each one of us in here, there are some fears. There are some what ifs. We must become radical. Hallelujah. You're too quiet on me. That's fine. We can shift the game, right? Talk about some 5 steps to move. 5 steps to breakthrough. Hallelujah. The Bible says perfect love does what? Casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1:6 says what? God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of power, of dunamis, of love, and of a sound mind. What is it? Do you know that every time in the Bible, God wanted to do something with people, he always said one thing first. He always said what? Fear not. Fear not. Joshua, fear not. Fear, why? Every time he'll come, he needs to remove what? Fear, because fear and faith have the same definition. Fear is believing in something you do not see. What is faith? Believing in something you do not see. It's the same thing. One's negative, one's positive. Hallelujah. May fear be broken in your life. Fear of starting that business. Fear of making that proposal. Fear of breaking through. Fear of talking to people. Fear of declaring things. Hallelujah. Number one, we are too comfortable where we are. Number two, we are afraid. Number three, familiarity. When we become too familiar with someone, with something, or with a status quo, we resist change. We become so familiar. This is how things have always been. Don't rock the boat. I think it's time to rock the boat at Agape. Do you agree with me? It's time to rock the boat. Thank you for your 2 amens. It's time to rock the boat in your life. Don't you think so? Some of you have become too familiar. God has been talking to you to change jobs and you've refused. I remember many years ago, I was enjoying the job that I was doing. Kind of. And then God began to shift some things and I kept resisting the move. But God had something better for me. And why? Because I was so familiar with what I was doing. I was so used with what I was doing. I felt this was it. But God was saying, move. And many times we become so familiar with what we are, where we are, who we are with, such that we fail to resist, we fail to change things. Many of us, there are certain things that need to change in our lives. There are certain things that need to change in our homes. There are certain things that need to change in your career. There are certain things that need to change in your job. There are certain things that need to change in your spiritual life. But you must resist familiarity. The Bible says that the people of Nazareth were so familiar with Jesus that Jesus could not do anything in Nazareth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Remember, these people were on the mountain of God. They were in the presence of God. It's very, very hard to shift from an environment like that. But God was saying what? Move. God says, move. Hallelujah. Number four, lack of vision. Lack of vision. Without vision, you're literally the walking dead. What is vision? Vision is seeing where you want to be before you get there. That's what vision is. Seeing where you need to be before you get there. What is the vision of a church? Developing agents of change. We are seeing where we want to be. And that agents of change are in this place. Our mission never changes. Proclaiming the gospel. Making ready a people. But our vision is to develop agents of change who will do what? Who will fulfill the mission. The purpose. What is your vision? I always tell people that by the grace of God, I mentor that you need to have a personal vision. A goal. A vision is a goal. A vision is a goal. You need to have a goal in life. In your workplace, you need to have a goal. In your career, you need to have a goal. In your academics, you need to have a goal. What is your goal? What is your vision? Your vision is just to eat food, to incumber the ground. What is your goal? Today, if I ask you, what is your goal? At the end of your life, what do you want your life to count for? Is it just to have 16 children? What is your goal? When you get married. So one time I told somebody, no, I just want to have children. How many? I don't know. Children. Okay. I remember my grandfather. I had a grandfather. His vision was to have a boy. The firstborn was a girl. Told the wife, the vision is a boy. Second was a girl. Third was a girl. Fourth was a girl. Fifth was a girl. I'm telling you. Sixth was a girl. Seventh was a girl. Eight was a girl. My goodness. My grandfather. My mother's uncle. Number nine was a boy. Vision accomplished. So, and that was it. Chapter closed. What is your vision? When all is said and done, what will be said about you? What will be said about you? For some of us, our end goal is to start a business. Okay, but when you start the business, then what? That's why many of us, we start businesses and at the end of the year, the business fails. Why? Because we did not have a vision as to where that business needs to go. Some of us, we get married, our end goal is to get married. Once we get married, day after the wedding, then we don't even know what to do. But it's very important. You know, the Bible says, I think it's in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, without a vision, the people perish. The people lack the will to achieve anything if you don't have a vision. Hallelujah, somebody. I believe that you need to have a spiritual vision. You need to have a personal vision. You need to have a family vision. And you need to have a corporate vision. You need to know, what is the vision? What is the purpose of his church? You say, when I come to preach here, I don't just come to preach because there's a day to preach. No. I don't just open my mouth because I need to open my mouth. No. I need to open my mouth because I need to impart something in somebody. It's not going to be everybody, but somebody will hear and they'll leave this place and say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Fear, be gone. There'll be one person in here. They'll say, I've not had vision. It is time for me to sit down, pray, seek God, and locate vision for my life. Somebody in here will say, I've been too comfortable with where I am. I need to shift things. Somebody has to decide that something needs to change in their lives. May that person be you. Because friends, until you move from the mountain, the possession of the Lord remains unpossessed. Because he told them, you have stayed here for too long. Go to the land of what? The Amorites, the Canaanites. Friends,
These were lands that needed to be conquered. These lands were not waiting for the Jews to occupy them. They were waiting for the Jews to conquer the opposition that was there. So when you move forward, it does not mean that everything is a breeze. No, but you need to conquer the limitations, the challenges that are in your place. You need to break the Amorites. You need to break the Canaanites. You need to destroy the Jebusites for you to conquer and stay in the land. You need to cross the Sinai, the Red Sea. You need to cross the Jordan. There are Goliaths in your life that need to be dealt with. In high school, in college, wherever you are, you need to conquer. Do not become comfortable with where you are. I remember one time, I used to say, when I start making X amount of money in my job, I'll be the most happy man in town. When I started making that X amount, my brother, I was excited for 2 months. Then I realized that certain things had changed in my life. If I stayed at that level, I'll be finished. So I needed now to set a new goal. And I worked hard till I got to that goal. You see, even the way I give in the house of God, I don't give according to what I make. I give according to what I want to make in that year. And trust me, God is my witness. Every year I've done it. I learned this principle several years ago. Every year I've done it and every year I've made it. In fact, this year, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I've not worked hard. So I get like a bonus at work. I've not worked too hard. And I kept complaining. I think one day my wife got tired of complaining. And she says, but just work hard. Well, then don't expect anything. But in my heart, I said, no. I have given according to the level of that thing. And when the time came, I checked my bank. And it was there according to how I had. But some of us, we just sit in your place of work. In your place of work. Because you see, we've made this mistake of saying church is just on Sunday. Church is where you are. Church is in your house. Church is in your house. Church is in your car. Church is in your place of work. Church is in your school. Church is everywhere you go because you are the church. You are the church. Hallelujah. All right, so how do we move forward from these things? How do I get off the mountain? 3 things, and then we'll have communion, and then we'll be done. Number one, a mind and heart change. Tell yourself, a mind and heart change. Friends, until we make a decision to move forward, and until that decision consumes our heart, it will just be talk. A committed decision leads to action. When you make a decision, you will begin to do the research that is needed and you will follow through with your actions. But it's going to start with a change of mind. It's going to start with your heart. I have found many times that when the mind and the heart are not aligned, there will be division. When the mind and the heart are aligned, there will be oneness. And where there's oneness, there's progress. The antonym for division is multiplication. Where there is no division, there's oneness, and it will produce multiplication. Number two, you need the prophetic word of the Lord. The prophetic word of God is your light, is your compass, and your roadmap. What is the Lord saying to you in this season of your life? What is the Lord saying to you in this time? What is the Lord saying to Agape? What is the Lord saying? The Lord said it is your year of exploits. That's a prophetic word that God released for you. The Lord is saying it is a year of elevation. What is the Lord saying? God is saying something to you. Number three, you need the presence of the Lord.
presence of the Lord. And the most important, the presence of the Lord. What is the presence of the Lord? The Holy Spirit. A believer and the church cannot do without the Holy Spirit. You must be constantly filled and refilled. Filled and refilled. Until you go to your grave, you must be filled and refilled. The Holy Spirit is our equipper. He's our lawyer. He's our confidant. He's our consultant. He's our closest friend. The Holy Spirit is what you need. That is why Moses recognized the presence of God. And that's why he said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, we cannot go. Jesus recognized that the disciples needed the presence of God. He told them in Acts chapter 2, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive my presence. The Holy Spirit is what a believer needs to excel. The Holy Spirit is what a child of God needs to overcome the wiles of life. Make no mistake, the devil is not your friend. Many of us, we invite the devil for dinner all the time. He is not your friend. Tell your neighbor and tell them, the devil is not your friend. He's not your friend. I like it in my language. It says, temu nove. He's not your friend. It's not my language, but it's one of the languages I've learned. He's not your friend. But many of us, we have made the devil our good friend. We have made the devil our equipper. We have made the devil our lawyer. We have made the devil our confidant. He is not your friend. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We've been learning about the power of self-control and being extraordinary in our Wednesday services. And we're dealing with some of these things. Because the plan of Satan, friends, is never to prosper you. Mark my words, it's never. He'll tempt you with good things, but it is never to prosper you. Never. You need the Holy Spirit. God will not tell you to get off the mountain without giving you a roadmap and without equipping you for the journey. The ultimate equipping of the Lord is a release of the Holy Spirit in your life. Child of God, the Holy Spirit is the game changer in a Christian's life. The disciples could not do without him. Why do you think you can do without him? The beginning of the church was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What am I saying, friends, to you and me today? We have stayed too long on this mountain. As a ministry, as a church, as a family, as an individual, wherever, at whatever level you are, look and examine. Is it where you want to be? Every one of us, we can go further. Is your family where it needs to be? Every one of us, we can go further. Is your business where it needs to be? Is your spiritual life where it needs to be? Is the condition of your church, Agape, where it needs to be? I don't think so. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't think Agape is where it is. And until this church and the members of this church decide to change, this church will continue like this. And I refuse to be a part of it. And today I declare there must be a shift in the church. There must be a shift from the pastor to the baby in the church. There has to be a shift on this second beginning of the second year. There must be a shift. There will be a shift. There will be a shift. Mark my words. It is no longer business as usual at Agape. Let's get back. If we have to come back here, there was a time we used to come in, and if it was just prayer, we would pray for 2 hours and leave. If it was just to worship God, we'll worship God and leave. It is time for a shift in the church. It is time for a shift in your life. Let's refuse to be comfortable. Refuse to be comfortable, friends. Decide you want to go to the next level with God. Decide you want to go to the next level in your career. The Bible says an excellent spirit was found in Daniel. Daniel served demonic gods, friends. Daniel served Babylonian gods. He served 3 kings and yet he was a servant of God. Who tells you that you cannot go into politics and be the difference? Who tells you that you cannot be the excellent one in your job? Who tells you that you cannot be the one that will shift things? God will give you wisdom,
difficult challenges will come in your place of work, and God will give you wisdom to solve them. And you will become the go-to person in your place of work. Your business will become the go-to business. People will start looking for you. People will start looking for your business. That's what God is looking for. God is not looking for you to just assimilate into the regular business world. God wants your business to be the difference. People need to look and see and say, that retailer is a God retailer. And people begin to come to you because they can trust you. People begin to come to you because you are honest. People begin to come to you because you give quality. Because an excellent spirit is in you. People will look at your marriage and they say, I want to be like that. Why? Because God is working in your marriage. That's what God is looking for. God is not looking for you to just encumber the ground. God is looking for you to be a difference maker. God is looking for agape to be a difference maker. Not just to be any church in town. There is no need to be any church in town. We must be the difference. This place, the Holy Ghost must be falling. In this place, every week, all the time, every day, the Holy Spirit must be moving. There must be a shift all the time in the lives of the people. And until we get there, we must refuse to be comfortable. We must refuse to be familiar. We must refuse to allow fear. The priest in, you need to get to that level. You need to refuse the status quo. Refuse the accolades. I said today you sang well. That must no longer be enough. What must be enough is that the Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost must bring healing. The Holy Ghost must bring transformation. The Holy Ghost, through your music, through your instrumentation, you must now refuse. Because anybody can have talent. Anybody can sing. But you must not be singers. You must be ministers. You must refuse the status quo. As a church, as a ministry, you must refuse to see empty chairs in the house of God. Because empty chairs simply means there are more people going to hell than people going to heaven. We must refuse. We must refuse. The other day I got into an Uber and I'm speaking to the Uber driver and he's telling me he was being forced to go to church, and when he turned 16, when he turned to an age where he did not want to go, he rebelled against his parents. And now he does, he says God is anywhere. And I asked him, I said, if you die today, are you sure about where you're going? He says, I don't know, I've been a good guy. I think God will receive me. I told him, good doesn't cut it. You can be the best you can be, but if you do not have Jesus, he is the game changer. He is the only way to heaven. And the guy didn't want to hear me anyway. He dropped me off. At least he took me where I was going. But guess what? The seed is planted. The seed is planted. Child of God, you are not called to be ordinary. Unless you want to encumber the ground, but I refuse to encumber the ground. We are not called to be ordinary. Let's refuse to be ordinary. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He's the game changer. In your workplace, in your home, in your business, in whatever you're doing, in your marriage, the Holy Ghost is a game changer. We have stayed long enough as a church on this mountain. It is time to move. 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 I'll ask us to just stand to our feet. It is time to move. It is time to shift, friends. I know I've not been talking to everybody. But I've been talking to that person that has refused the status quo. That's not happy with the status quo. They may be happy, but they know there's more to life. Some of us may be fulfilled, but there's always more to life. I've found in life that every time God takes you to a place, there's always more. There's always more. At whatever level of achievement you've received, there's always more. You must refuse to be where you are. You must refuse. If you're a consultant, become the best consultant there ever is. The Holy Spirit is working in you. If you're a pastor, become the pastor, the woman or man after God's own heart. They sought after Jesus. Be sought after. Because Jesus, we've been given the name above every name, friends. That name is a game changer. The name Jesus is a game changer. I don't know where you are in life, and I don't know what you are desiring. I don't know the hungers, the discomforts you've been feeling. But as you enter this second half, As you've been listening to me, I'd like you to just begin to pray. As Brother K just plays a song, whatever song the Lord lays on your heart, just give us that soft song as you play. And each one of us, let's just take time and just begin to pray. Begin to pray. Each one of us, there's a place where we need to go. Each one of us, I'm not going to do any altar call, but each one of us where we are, we're just, let's just pray. Just pray. Just talk to God. Talk to God. Maybe it is you are not happy maybe with where your business is. Talk to God. Let him show you. Remember, the Holy Spirit is your lawyer, your confidant, your counselor. Maybe you're going through a difficult situation. You need the wisdom of God. Talk to God. Talk to God. This is a time. Just tell him, God, I refuse to be ordinary. I've stayed too long on the mountain of complaints. I've stayed too long on the mountain of whining. I've stayed too long, oh God, on this mountain of my business of stagnation. I've stayed too long, God. I need to move. I need to shift. I don't know where you are. Maybe it is in your spiritual life. Your spiritual life. Every one of us, we can do better.